Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Look in verse 1. Now John is writing here and he says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. I want to take a moment just to unmask for you tonight a supernatural being in the Word of God, because when we do this, we kind of catch a little glimpse of some interesting truth that has a lot of relevance to that passage in Revelation 21. So as an introduction to Revelation 21, if you would, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel here is speaking to a human king. A human king. But in the process of his speaking to this human king, he begins to speak to a supernatural being that's behind this king, that is actually indwelling this king. And what we're doing is taking a little glimpse into an angelic conflict that's going on throughout the world. And it's even going on today. That is, that's the way Satan works. He controls the minds and hearts of these kings that are rebelling against God. But watch this. This is an amazing thing. And by the way, this is the identification of the original sinner. I'm not talking about Adam. I'm talking about before Adam. This is the original sinner. But we read here, in beginning in verse 11, Ezekiel 28:11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man," now he's talking to Ezekiel here, "take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God." Now he's speaking, remember, to this physical king. But watch the words carefully. We're going to gravitate into another world here. Watch this. "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now notice this, verse 13. "You were in Eden." Hold it. Hold it. Stop there. Now, it's obvious we're no longer talking to this human king. This human king was never in Eden, especially this Eden. Look at this. "The garden of God." But this garden is not the garden that we think it is. When we see the Eden and we see the garden, we think in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve tasted the forbidden fruit and fell and caused all kinds of problems that we're still dealing with. But this is a different kind of garden. Look at this. This is a jewel-encrusted garden. It's a garden of precious jewels. Look at this. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. That is, he is in a garden made up of precious jewels, precious stones. Look at this. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were what? Created. This is God's most beautiful creature. This is God's most beautiful created being. And he's located in the original garden of God. As we're going to see, that's the one in heaven. Now watch this. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Now remember back our study of the mercy seat and the two cherubim on either side that guard the mercy seat. Remember that? In the Holy of Holies, the representations, the symbols of the two angels at either end of the mercy seat looking down on the mercy seat, they were the ones guarding the mercy seat of God. They were the covering cherubs. But he's saying here, you were one of the original covering cherubs who was guarding literally the original mercy seat where God exists in the garden of God. Now watch. I established you. Now notice, you were on the holy mountain of God. Hold it. Now, obviously, we've gone past the king of Tyre. Okay, we've gone past that human king. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. That is, you walked in this jewel-encrusted garden. This garden made out of precious stones. Now notice in verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Boy, we've sort of gone into another world, hadn't we? In other words, we got beyond the king of Tyre to a being behind the king of Tyre. And Ezekiel here is speaking with the original sinner. But I want you to see all of these beautiful jewels and the gold and the precious stones. It's all there. What a picture. Now, we know if you flip over to Isaiah 14, we know what the original sin was. In Isaiah chapter 14, turn over there. Look in verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Literally, the Hebrew says luciferous one, or shining one, glistening one, glimmering one, the one who reflects light. Luciferous one. That's what he called Lucifer, we call it. Oh, Lucifer. Someone had a cat named Lucifer. I can't remember who it was now. But that's the name, obviously, for Satan, the devil. Son of the morning, he's called here. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. That's the original sin. The thought, when it hits Satan's mind, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's the angelic realm. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will one day sit over a kingdom on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. That's the original sin. So what we've done tonight, we got caught a little glimpse of the original sinner and the original sin, but we've caught them in that area beyond the stars, in God's realm, where the original sin occurred. Now, of course, God put Adam and Eve in the garden on this created earth, and it's there that Satan took upon himself that form of the serpent, and he deceived the woman. We know about that, and then there came the fall of man. But this is before that. We've caught a glimpse here of God's angelic realm. And I wanted to kind of etch in your mind this idea of the beautiful stones. Boy, what a picture. What a picture. Now flip to Revelation 21. Let me catch you right up to Revelation 21. Find right where we are. We've already experienced the rapture. It's already taken place here. The Lord has descended from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ have already arisen first, and then those who were alive and remain have been caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And then following that catching up of the saints, we've gone through the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. We've gone through the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. While on the earth, they're going through the tribulation period. They're going through the pouring out of the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and all of that, the problems that we've already been through in the book of the Revelation. It's going on the earth. And then we've gone through the kingdom reign of Jesus Christ. Following that, he sets up his kingdom. He's now ruling from the throne of David, the reestablished throne of David on the earth, from a literal throne on the earth. And the Jerusalem that has been rebuilt, the temple that has been rebuilt over a world that has been recreated, that is, that's where the animals no longer have any conflict, and you could put your, the children can play around the serpent's den and not be worried about getting bit for 1,000 years of peace, real peace, because the judge is going to be on the earth, and he's has now a perfect government on the earth for how long? 1,000 years. Satan has been bound. Remember, he has been bound. He's no longer being able to influence. And the nations have to come to this, to Jerusalem, that's on the beautiful hill there and the beautiful temple, and they have to pay homage to the Messiah every year. All the nations have to come. Now, they can do it. They have to do it. They had no choice. But they can do it on the outside, but inside they can be what? Rebelling. And many of them have not come to faith in the Messiah. But people have been now given length of age. They're living now like they did back in the before the fall. So people are living a long, long time again. Isn't that fantastic? Of course, there are people also on the earth with glorified bodies. And those of us who are reigning with Jesus Christ have such a body. But we're reigning with him now for 1,000 years. That comes to an end with the final conflict when Satan is released. And then he entices the world, the final conflict of the ages coming against God. Remember, we talked about this last week. God just destroys them with what? Remember? Fire. Boom. Gone. Not much of a battle, is it? Now that's where we are right here. Now we go into the, John says, I saw this new heaven and new earth. Boy, that's all introduction. Good gracious. Let's pray. Father, would you teach us your word? Would we adequately magnify Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. So John says here, watch this. Now I saw, here it is, a new heaven, not the old heaven. This is all brand spanking new. Brand new. At the end of the kingdom, reign of Jesus Christ, the old heavens, gone. The old earth, gone. Now watch this. There's going to be crying in the kingdom. There are going to be tears in the kingdom. There's going to be conflict in the kingdom, but not here. This is really what we think about often as what? Heaven. Are we going to heaven? When we ask that question, am I going to heaven? Yes, but we have a kingdom to go through first. That's what I want you to see. So really, we should be asking the question, are you going to the kingdom? Are you going to enter the kingdom? That's what we're really wanting to know. But ultimately, we are going to heaven. That's when everything's going to be made brand new. I want you to see that. We got a new heaven and a new earth. Now notice this, for the first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away. Also, there was no more sea. That's an interesting thing because the sea is always in the Bible associated with evil for some reason. And the fall of man, the sea. There's going to be no more sea here. No more sea. The beast came out of the sea. Remember, that's where the Antichrist came from. And the false prophet, picturesque in Revelation, came out of the sea. And the sea is associated with the fallen earth. Remember that? That sea, the sea was associated, like I said, with the fall of man and corruption. But in the new heavens and new earth, no more sea. It's gone. Now watch. Then I, John, saw, here it is, the holy city. Now here's the, boy, I wish you could just see this in your thinking. Remember, we just painted the picture in Ezekiel of this throne of God in heaven. Remember, that's where Jesus carried his blood into the very presence of God to cleanse the original altar of God where the original sin occurred. We just saw that, where the fall of Satan took place and the anointed cherub. He was the one made to guard the original throne of God. That's where the original sin occurred. So why not Jesus, we're going to see this in Hebrews 9. What a picture. Jesus carrying his blood into the very presence of God. That's while he's hanging on the cross, he's very active. And he propitiated God in the original, the real mercy seat. You remember way back in your mind's eye that God told Moses when he made the temple, he says, you make it after a pattern that I will show you, the exact pattern. He had it. Remember that? That's been years ago we went through that. Pattern from what? The original. Or we could say as a belief, the real. Remember, the things we can see with our eyes are what? Not real. If you can get there, you got it. If you can begin to live your life based on what you see in your mind and your heart and make your decisions based on what you know to be true, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we live as believers. But there is an absolute real temple where God lives. And that's where that garden that we talked about earlier, that garden of jewels, that garden of beautiful jewels and precious stones and gold, that temple one day is going to come down. J. Vernon McGee, in his book, writes this, and you know, he's just an old country preacher. But boy, when he's on the radio, he gets excited. He says, neighbor, I'm telling you, one day we're going to see it. And eyes have never seen, nor ears heard, nor has ever entered into our mind what we're going to see when this temple comes down. The magnificent throne of God is going to come down to not the old earth, the new earth, and new heavens. Boy, what a man. From God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now notice verse 3. And I heard with a loud voice from heaven saying, behold. Now remember, when we say that word behold in the Word of God, it means pay close attention to what I'm about to say because it's important. It would be like me saying to you, hold it. Listen up. Pay close attention. This is important. Behold. This is very important. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with where? With men. It's come down now. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Now that's what we call in theological terms the eternal state. And the reason we call it that, we don't know what else to call it. The eternal state that we're looking for one day. And this is a realm that where words, human words, begin to sag and fail because we can't describe it. We don't have the words. We don't have the thoughts. We don't have the means to communicate it one human to another. We can just do the best we can. It's the eternal state. It's that state that we call heaven. We've already gone through the kingdom reign of Jesus Christ, and now we have heaven. As someone once said, all this and heaven too. All this and heaven too. Now look in verse 4. Boy, what a picture. At that time, now this is all kind of a, let me tell you how God writes to us in his word. He knows our frailty. He knows our humanness. He knows our flesh. He knows our sin. He knows that we can't comprehend that. I mean, we don't have a way, we don't have the means, humanly speaking, to understand all this. I mean, I'm trying to communicate some truth to you that I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm doing the best I can. I struggle with the word. But what he's saying here is, look in verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Boy, there's coming a time when there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more suffering. That's the beauty. It's going to come. And people have said, well, when, God? Right here. This is when. But then, what is man's greatest fear? I mean, that's really true. That's a good question, isn't it? What is man's greatest fear? Death. Dying. It's the great unknown. It seems to rob us of those that we love so dearly. And it seems so permanent. And the things that we teach, I was talking to Linda about this recently, only has value after we die. So we have to die to find out about all this. So I'm trying to put in your thinking truths that will benefit you when you die. I'm trying to prepare you to face man's most feared enemy with confidence. Not with fear, but with confidence. That you know there's something waiting for you that goes beyond all the pain that you've been through, all the suffering, all the anxiety, all the hurt in your life. There's coming something so glorious, and it's all wrapped up in one little word. It's called grace. Grace. It's precious. But no more suffering. And it says, watch this, no more death. Man, God got to put that in there. No more dying. And then no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more what? Pain. That's another feared enemy that I have. I think I fear growing old, not because I have to grow old. I kind of look forward to that. I really do, because that brings me one notch closer to heaven. And I want to reach old age with some dignity and grace and be able to live through that time and be able to face death one day with confidence. I can because of this. There'll be no more pain. It's beyond that pain threshold that we talked about. For the former things have what? Gone. Pew. And we're going to find out they're going to be wiped out of your memory. You're not going to remember it anymore. All of that is going to be gone. It's going to be a brand new day with God. Brand new. And you know, this is kind of hard too. I've often, when you're talking to teenagers, you have to ask my children, but I used to work with teenagers a lot. And we always had a teenage ministry. Every place we went, we had teenagers. They would come into our home, stay in our home, stay in my refrigerator. But we had teenagers, and we ministered to them. It's tough to tell them about this. You think you're tough to minister to when you're talking about things like this. They don't have, you know, it's just, it doesn't compute with them a lot of times. But this idea here, it says, for the former things have passed away, they're gone. And you no more thought, and they say, well, man, who wants to be there? We're going to be sitting on this cloud somewhere out there with a little halo on, playing a little harp. Oh, whoopee-doo, I can't wait. That sounds exciting. Now explain, you're on, okay? What do you say? Eh? I beg your pardon? No, listen, here's the deal. God put all this together that we're living in now. He gave us all the joys of this life, all the love and the joys that we had here. If you can multiply that zillions of times and then plunge it into the future, then you get an idea of what heaven's going to be like. I mean, we don't, listen, it's going to be so far above what we know as what we call a good time. It's so far above that, we don't have the words to reach there. We don't have the capacity, humanly speaking, to reach there. I mean, you think of the greatest joy that you've ever known on this planet, and you multiply it like crazy. Then you get an idea, a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. But here's the good news. It's never going to end. It's going to go on and on and on and on. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Just over, on and on and on into eternity. Is that not fantastic? And that's how I communicate that to a teenager. I said, think of the greatest fun you've had here. And multiply that a lot of times, and that's what heaven's going to be like. I mean, you're not going to be walking around on streets of gold, and you got your wings, you know, that's giving you problems, and you got your halo and all. And yeah, forget that. That's not even the ballpark. It's nothing, nothing like that. Now notice. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things what? Now when God says, I make all things new, you know what that means? That means he makes all things new. I mean, we're not, am I reading something into that interpretation? I'm not. That's what he said. That's what he's going to do. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now when God has to say, I mean, when he feels obligated to say, the words I'm writing to you here are truth, and they're faithful. That means they're true and they're gonna what? Happen. You can count on it. So here's where we are. We're right on the end of the kingdom. Satan has been judged. He's been cast into the liquid lake of the fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Now we're going into the eternal state. Man, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. I realize, folks, I'm wise enough to know that pie in the sky by and by doesn't motivate a lot of people. I mean, it really doesn't. I wish I could. If pie in the sky by and by motivated us, we'd be out telling people about how to have eternal life, wouldn't we? I mean, we'd be serving God with all the fiber of our being if we could just catch a glimpse of what Paul caught a glimpse of. But God gave him a little glimpse of that, by the way. He said, hey, Paul, wake up. There's something waiting for you here. And then, of course, he gave him that little glimpse, and then he put him back on the planet. And then he gave him a thorn in the flesh. He had to do that to keep him, remind him of why he was here and not there. Because he had an overwhelming desire, and that's what he said, to be with Christ. He said, I want to be there. I don't want to be here. God gave him that thorn to say, look, this is why you're, every time that thorn came into his mind, he said, you got a commission, Paul. You got a reason for being on the planet, and you're eternal until God's finished with you. So he had to finish his task. Now we say, man, if God give me that little glimpse, I might want to serve him. That's what he's doing right here. That's all he's giving us is a little glimpse, a little taste. He's saying, that ought to be sufficient. Pie in the sky by and by doesn't motivate everyone, but here's what I've learned. It does motivate some of us. Some of us catch it. And some of us that have gone a little older, and old Arthur, and it's kind of racked our body, and it's sort of getting old, and we know that we're on our way out of here. And we don't have all the time in the world to finish the task that God has given us here. That motivates us. That drives us. That's waiting for us right around the corner. It's there. Well, we just got the tip of the iceberg tonight, but we'll get back on it next Sunday night. I'm going to try my best to wax eloquent, but that's exactly what I'm doing because I don't know, have a clue what I'm talking about. But I'm just going to go with what the text says. It's going to tell us later on. We're going to go all the way back around, and we're going to have access to the very tree of life. Remember those cherub, those flaming swords and the cherub that were placed to guard the people from the tree. Adam and Eve couldn't get back to the tree of life. God's going to give us access to it one day. Again, we're going to come full circle all the way back where we started. Isn't that guy like God? I mean, he's a genius, isn't he? He's going to bring us all the way back around where we started. Let's pray.